The State Writer Laureate of Alaska will give presentations and readings in the Upper Lynn Canal this coming week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Nicholas Shudkovsky. That story and more up next. Regular traffic patterns have resumed on the Klehini and Taya River bridges, with the completion of inspections carried out by the Alaska Department of Transportation. The DOT normally conducts inspections of every bridge in the state on two-year intervals. Approximately $2 million was appropriated by the state legislature this year for replacement of the Klehini River Bridge, where inspections caused slight traffic delays on Wednesday and Thursday. But designation of those funds doesn't mean that the bridge will necessarily be replaced, rather than simply repaired, only that funding is available should DOT decide the replacement is necessary. KHNS will report on the results of DOT's inspections once their results are released. Nurses will see some limits on mandatory overtime under a bill on its way to the governor's desk. They'll be restricted to no more than 14 consecutive hours without a 10-hour break. Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson, a retired nurse, says some healthcare facilities require longer hours, which can lead to serious mistakes. The bill passed during the session's final hours. Wilson says that helped push it through.
Everybody was exhausted, and a lot of people were making mistakes and saying things. Is that what I said? That's not what I meant to say. And every time that would happen, there was lots of us that would say, just think if you were a nurse and it was 14 hours and you had to decide what kind of medication to give to somebody and how much. And that really brought it right home.
The bill includes some exceptions for nurses working on medevac flights or during natural disasters or disease outbreaks. Some hospital managers asked for changes, saying the limit would make staffing difficult. The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, for example, said the bill would hit rural Alaska especially hard. Those facilities have a harder time recruiting nurses, and their smaller staff size allows less scheduling flexibility. Ketchikan Representative Kyle Johansson says he heard those objections, but he decided safety was the overriding issue.
We make sure airline pilots only fly X amount of hours a day because our lives are in their hands when we're in the air. And I don't want to end up in an emergency room with a nurse who's worked for 16 hours and is just frankly physically exhausted, and that's when accidents happen.
Skagway's Dahl Memorial Clinic does not have registered nurses on their staff. Instead, they employ advanced nurse practitioners who have higher levels of training and won't be affected by the new legislation. The Haines Search Health Center does have registered nurses on its staff, but is unable to say whether the potential new law could affect operations there until its specific details can be reviewed. This was the third session lawmakers tried to get the measure through. The bill must be signed by Governor Sean Parnell before it becomes law.
Alaska's writer laureate, Nancy Lord, visits the Upper Lynn Canal next week. Her books include The Compass Inside Ourselves, The Man Who Swam with Beavers, Fish Camp, and Beluga Days. Lord will read from her new book entitled Rock, Water, Wild, An Alaskan Life.
And it's basically a collection of essays that I've written over the last 10 or 12 years, and they mostly have to do with environmental issues and sort of how I came to be both a writer and an Alaskan, and then a number of different experiences that I've had in the state, and then the last part of it kind of extends out to other places.
One of the short stories in Rockwater Wild drew from a raft trip that Lord took down the Taku River.
So yeah, we started in a very dry place with actually sage bushes and different kind of plant life there, and then eventually came down through the mountains back to the coastal, very wet ecosystem. We really took our time. It wasn't all that many miles, but we just spent a long time, especially along the upper part. Did a little hiking and camping and fishing and just really taking our time to enjoy the place. The Taku is now back in the news because that Tulsiaquot Chief Mine is sort of rearing its head again, and it's a big concern for fishing people and others, the potential pollution from that development. It's a major salmon stream, and it's kind of one of the last really healthy ecosystems that support salmon on the whole West Coast. And it's just, from a perspective of a rafter, it's an amazing physical place with the mountains and the physical surroundings, and then all the wildlife that lives there, the fish and the bears and the eagles and everything that's supported by basically a salmon, salmon-based ecosystem.
The Taku River has unique management challenges, says Lord.
Most of the watershed lies in British Columbia, which is part of the challenge of trying to have the U.S. and Alaska work with the Canadians and British Columbian people and the First Nations people on both sides to try to work together and do something cooperatively to protect the region.
As a retired commercial fisher of 25 years, Lord offers her perspective on the value of the Taku as a salmon fishery.
I'm kind of, fish-oriented, but I know that the Taku is the major salmon stream with all five species running into its tributaries. Certainly seems like something worth protecting.
Lord has lived in Alaska since 1973, when she moved to Homer from New Hampshire with her husband, Carl Kastner. Over the next 36 years, Lord earned numerous awards and fellowships and has traveled extensively, researching for her books and teaching writing all across the country. She will be sponsored in Haines by Rivers Without Borders, whose spokesman, Chris Zimmer, will follow the reading with a slideshow of the Taku. Another book is due to be published in January.
My most recent, newest book, it has to do with how northern communities, mostly in Alaska, have been coping with and adapting to climate change. For that, I did a certain amount of travel up in the Arctic to Shishmaref and Kaktovik and interior Alaska, and did another rafting trip in Northwest Territories in Canada. That's part of the book too, up near the Arctic Circle.
The Alaska Daily News, April 28th, published a piece written by Lord on the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico and what that could mean for Alaska.
Every time there's a war, the generals are fighting the last war, and it's the same thing for disasters like that. After the Exxon spill, the Ocean Pollution Act of 1990 and so on, they kind of addressed tanker safety and transport issues, but they didn't address things, the potentials for other kinds of disasters like we're seeing now. And so now we're responding to a different situation, and then there'll probably be some new laws made, new regulations, but it would be too late for this. We all know that the possibility of trying to clean up spilled oil in the Arctic under those conditions with ice and the remote nature of it and all the other challenges is something that it would not be possible. And the resources, the living resources that are at risk in the Arctic are huge.
Nancy Lord says she'll be in the Haines area for a few days and plans to visit the Klukwan School. The readings and slideshows will be Wednesday, May 12th at 6 p.m. at the Haines Public Library and Friday, May 15th at 7 p.m. at the Skagway Public Library.
And I'm sorry I missed the Hooligan. I've been hearing about the Hooligan run and what a big event that is.
Thank you.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Nicholas Shutkovsky with help from Jessica Plakta. Thanks to Ed Schoenfeld of Coast Alaska. KHNS Local News airs every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Canal Weekend on KHNS.